Coming up, Cousin Sal and I are going to talk about Tom Brady taking the Patriots once again to the championship game in his conference. So he's on the Bucks. Oh, well. Well, we're going to talk about everything else. It's all next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network. New rewatchables coming Monday night. First Blood with Sly Stallone. Yeah. The first great modern action movie. We're going to explain why. It's me and Brian Koppelman. That's coming Monday night. Going on a little bit of an action movie run here in the rewatchable. Stay tuned for that. Coming up, round two. It was eventful. First, Pearl Jam. All right, Sunday night, taping this a little bit earlier than usual. It's only 7:19 Pacific time, Sal. Usually we're taping at like 8:45. We bought ourselves 90 minutes here.
I'm glad. I'm exhausted. We should have just taped after that Chiefs game. I was almost dead then. I can't take it.
Let's talk about that game first. That was not only the game of the day. It was one of the gambling moments of the decade. The decade's pretty early. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. It's either the Mahomes concussion game or the Chad Henne game. It's clearly something. It was a roller coaster ride. And for the people listening at home, everybody and their brother had the Chiefs in some sort of parlay or tease or something. And they're up five.
And well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but especially since it went down to like 7.5 on FanDuel, right? It was 10 all week, went down to 7.5. They have a lineman out, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who the hell cares, not playing. And then you do, you have the license to tease it to down to 1.5 or 2 or whatever it is. So go on. I'm sorry.
I had a 7-point tease with the Packers. I had a Packers, Bills, Chiefs parlay. Yeah. I had Chiefs, Bucks in a thing. Like everybody else, I had the Chiefs and everything. You just sprinkle them in. It's the old Sal method.
I think I've had it from the last 3 years somehow. I had this game on a teaser to finish out a teaser. But yeah, and we talked about with FanDuel had like a Packers to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or the Chiefs to beat the Packers. There were great odds on that. I just had it everywhere and had really just a stroke watching that game.
Well, so you get the gift of all time in the second quarter where Higgins is about to score and he fumbles it out of the end zone. It was the worst moment by a Brown about to go into the end zone in the history of the Browns. Oh, no, wait. It was second. No. Sorry, Browns fans.
Very Browns-ish.
Yeah, so they basically give back 7 points. So when that happens, you think like, well, you do that against the Chiefs, you're dead. 19-3, start of the second half. I miss this. I was peeing. Come back, and the Chiefs are celebrating. They've gotten a pick, and now they're inside the 20. They're up 16. The game's over. This is it. It's like how
they
many points are
they going to
score? Kick
a field goal instead of a touchdown there. Yeah. But still 19-3. All right, two scores if you get the 2-point conversions, but it's not happening.
Well, they missed the field goal. So now it's 19-3.
Right.
And you're like, wait a second. And then fast forward to third and short. You and I were texting about this. We're fighting about it. Mahomes was already hurt. He was limping around. He looked unhappy. He either had plantar fasciitis or a broken big toe. I didn't know what was going on, but he was clearly compromised. So third and short, they do this weird rollout play with him that is basically designed to get him hit if he keeps it.
Yeah.
And he's down and he's woozy. And the announcers fall into that awkward thing where it's like, that dude's concussed, but nobody can say it. And Nance is like, whoa, he doesn't know where he is. And it's just so awkward right now in the concussion era.
Yeah. And the thing is, well, now Jay Glazer after this game was saying that he's in concussion protocol, but it's just as likely that he was choked out. If you watch, it was like a dirty play. And so now we got some MMA stuff going. And just as he was about to get to his, it did look like he was kind of put out, like choked out as much as it was concussion. Because if you watch the hit, wasn't helmet to helmet, maybe it was helmet to cold ground. That could have been it. But to say that he was choked out, my God, that is something different and would help his cause for playing next week, which we all know he's playing next week.
So it was almost like whiplash because it didn't seem like his head actually hit anything. But, you know, as you said, it was such kind of a dirty play, which of course they didn't legislate, even though they called 15 touchy whatevers. But that's one of the things I hate about the third and short. When you're exposing your QB to stuff like that, you're also exposing them to all these crazy dudes on the defense who are like, oh, cool. Right. Here's my free shot at Mahomes. I just didn't feel like they needed to do it.
So anyway, I know, but he's so successful running the ball. He really is. Is he just going to be one of those quarterbacks? I know he was hurt last year because he did the quarterback sneak, and that was a fluke thing too. But yeah, I get it that he's a target, but it's such a, you know, when he ran for the touchdown, no one cared from the 1 yard line. Like that was the play.
They have two unstoppable plays though. They have the play that they ran to win the game, which we'll get to in a second, which is basically like Tyreek Hill is the fastest human being on the earth. If we need to get him a quick pass for a fourth and one, it's there every time. Or they have the third and short play action to Kelce over the middle, which is the most unstoppable play in football. That's why I didn't like it. So anyway, he goes out, and when he does the wobble, you know, he almost would have been better off just staying down, right? If he stayed down for like a minute, then it's like, oh, what happened? He hurt his foot.
That's what
you don't know. He's
stay
on
down,
Clear Street.
Grab your foot, stare at your leg a little bit or whatever. Yeah. But as soon as you take him out and then, yeah, that's the announcers were all over it. Like, that's it. He can't come back. If Lamar's not coming back from yesterday, he can't come back this game.
Well, ironically, it was the Chiefs. This was the first time this ever happened in a playoff game where it was Chiefs Colts. I can't remember how many years ago. It was at least 6 or 7. And it was that big.
Oh, the
that
comeback
big comeback game,
game
oh, against the Chiefs.
Yeah, right.
Jamal Charles went out, remember? And he was clearly concussed. And this was right as we were reevaluating how we felt about concussions during football. And that was the first time I remember thinking, like, they can't bring him back in. He has a concussion. Like, we've just litigated this for the past year. And they scratched him. And it was one of the reasons the Colts came back. So now, all these years later, it was clear he wasn't coming back. So then it's like, Chad Henne. I looked up Football Reference. He was 5-22 in his last 27 starts. He hadn't won a game since 2013. How are you feeling with all your money on the Chiefs at this point and Chad Henne driving the car?
I didn't feel great. Obviously, you don't want to get it down to 22-17 with the Browns with the ball, right? So I was like, okay, he needs to make one or two big plays. And I felt better about it this week and this year, better than I have in years past. When you see guys like Wolford and Tyler Heinicke and other guys who've never heard of step up. I'm like, Chad Henne, he's taken some snaps. He played week 17. He's still got all these, you know, stars around him. Tyreek Hill, you and I were going crazy. Like, Tyreek Hill, why isn't he in the backfield? Pitch it to him. Let him do an end around and stay in bounds. Key is to stay in bounds. And then it was a crazy thing. They took a bad penalty, and then they throw long. And even the penalty gets him to the 38-yard line, which a field goal would have put him up 8. And he throws long, and he throws a punt 5 yards into the end zone.
It wasn't even close. It was like one of your son's flag football games where the quarterback just is like, fuck it. He just wings it. It was bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was sad. And then it's like, all right, then if you want to set up the ending, I mean, that was and then the Browns punt to the Chiefs, which I didn't think was terrible. I heard some Chiefs fans like, thank you. That's all we needed. Like, well, your quarterback just threw one of the worst interceptions we ever saw, and there's like over 4 minutes left. Like, I don't mind giving it back there. You still have to get a couple first downs, but
I was really proud of. I was on a text chain. I'm sure you on other text chains, but me, you, House, and Hench were on a text chain. All of us had the Chiefs, and we were talking about it in past tense, like we already lost. Like, this is the worst loss of the year. never going to recover. I can't believe it. This happens once a decade, a game like this. Right. And I almost feel like we willed the Browns to fuck up that series when it seemed like, on the one hand, I was comfortable because what were they? They had to go 70 yards. There's 4 minutes left. They're taking forever. Baker at one point took 40 seconds between plays. There's no urgency at all. And it becomes clear a little like what we saw with New Orleans in the next game. Like, you know, they need to methodically go down the field. They had an 18 play drive earlier in the game. So that was the one thing I was excited about. But then when the Chiefs got the ball back, you're just running through all the terrible Henny scenarios, right? Like he screws up a handoff, pass gets tipped, missed timing off of Hill's hands, all that stuff. But we were saying like, just send Hill left and right back and forth for fake reverses or reverses. He's like Steph Curry. When he's moving, the whole defense freaks out.
Yeah. So the kind of decoy, he could always just outlet into a pass formation or some or route or, but yeah, just get him involved somehow. Right. And then that 3rd and 14 play.
Where there was a bad call first, right? What was it? What was the crackback block?
It was crackback. It was close. If you look at the textbook, like if you look up the definition, it is really close. And, you know, the Chiefs were lucky. Like Myles Garrett wasn't in there the whole game. I don't know what was going on there, but they were lucky and they took advantage of that, obviously, when Mahomes is in there. But that 3rd and 4, yeah. So that crackback.
No, the crackback was the previous drive. That was before the other pick. I took that note. So it was crackback block, Henny terrible pick.
Right. So what was the other one that brought him back?
Was some sort of dumb whatever, and it's 3rd and 14. And I thought they were going to hand off because you're doing the math and you're just like, just punt. Baker's got to go 80 yards. Make him do it. I don't think he can do it with Higgins and Landry and Njoku.
He drops back to pass. So now they're going to give him time on the clock. My God, they're going to bet a part of 2 minutes. But no, then he takes off. It's like, okay, smart. He'll go for 3 yards and then they'll punt. And then he ends up a half a yard short. Romo and everyone screaming. I have to say, it was probably the best Romo call, even though he was wrong twice in a row. He was wrong about it being a first down. I'm like, something's down, an elbow, a knee. Something is down here. I know it is. They're short. And then he was wrong about the 4th and 1 that they were going to snap it. And I think everybody in the world was wrong about that they were going to snap it, except for Andy Reid.
They did something on that play that I've been dying to see a team try for my entire life, and they finally did it. They went up to the line, and Romo's like, "Oh, they're just trying to draw him off sides."
Look at the body.
And he did the hard count. There's like 12 seconds left. Everybody relaxes, and Romo literally says, "Like, oh, look at the body language. They're not running a play."
Yeah,
and they didn't run it at the 1 second. They ran it at like 6 seconds.
It was like 6 or 5 seconds,
and it was one of eight things
wrong with this thing. Yeah,
right. They're playing possum. And their thinking was like, if they're just on their heels for a split second and Tyreek gets a head start on that little slant play that they run every time they need a yard, that might be the split second. So he does it. But then Henny has to complete the pass. Yeah. Did you think he was going to complete the pass? Because
I think I was still in shock when they snapped it. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. This is Bill Belichick arrogance. This dwarfs it. Like, I can't believe this is the backup in shotgun. You're not even going to try to draw them offside. You're in shotgun. And not even a great attempt to draw them offside. So there was none there. And then to snap it on 5, you and I, and we're all arguing about Andy Reid not being a Hall of Fame coach after this. If that gets dropped or whatever, like, what the hell did he do there? He left more time for him. He could easily punt. Baker would have had, a minute 20 to go 80?
Minute 20, no timeouts. He would have had to go 80 to 90 yards. Instead, he would have had it at midfield.
I would have taken that. Yeah. And then he catches the ball and they go and Romo goes nuts and they all go crazy. And we were ballistic.
But, you know, it made me think, I don't know if he does that if they've never won a Super Bowl.
Mm.
And I know they talk about how, Andy's so ballsy. If you've never won a Super Bowl, you're probably not doing that. But I was thinking like, he's at the point in his life now, right? Where he wins it. He takes this giant monkey off his back. And it's like when you're on a family vacation, when you're a kid, and your dad splurges and you're staying in a nice hotel and he's already like gone too far. And then it's like, hey dad, can we go to the nice restaurant? He's like, fuck it. Like he's just, he's already so far down the road with whatever. And he's just like, fuck it. You know? And I think Andy's at the fuck it point of his career.
I didn't
get
that. My father, we'd go to Hershey, Pennsylvania and sleep in the car every
sleep
summer.
Sleep in bunk beds.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, well, I mean, look at Belichick. Like he took more chances after you won 1, 2, 3, 4 Super Bowl, right? Like it didn't matter as much. It was gravy, but he did treat that. At least he had Brady. Like retreated it as if Mahomes was back there, right? Like he ran every play was called as if Mahomes was the quarterback there. Unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable playoff game. And then we tie into, you know, the Browns piece of this where, you know, this is a tortured franchise. LeBron winning in 2016 removes the torture slightly, but still the Browns haven't won in forever. It looked like for a split second here when the drive where the Browns ended up punting and you're doing the math and you're thinking like, man, if they score, there's no way Henny's going to be able to go 60 yards for a field goal. The Browns are going to play the Bills in the AFC title game. And there was about 40 seconds there when my brain broke. I'm trying to think like Browns, Bills. It's like the baggage bowl. Can you imagine that? The two fan bases? It's almost like we would have had a tie for seven overtimes.
But they'd also would have had to let all the fans in the stadium. Like, all right, I get it. This is a super spreader event that we're going to, we got the inauguration and we got this, and then we'll go back to being responsible. But everybody's invited to this. Yeah, I went at it with a few Browns fans. I'm like, oh, come on. You wouldn't want to win like this against a backup quarterback. And then last week, the bad snap over the stadium. They're like, fuck you. We've been through shit for the last time. I was like, all right, fine.
Drop that sound.
Yeah. But you're right, the ball, and all said and done, fumbling the ball through the end zone was the difference. Like, if that gets called helmet to helmet, like it should have been, who is it, Sorensen?
Yeah.
You can't review that, I guess. I don't know why you can't review. If safety is the main focus here, I'm not sure why you can't review helmet to helmet.
We've lost our mind with instant replay. Like, the NBA spends 5 minutes at the end of every game reviewing a block or a charge, and yet seven other things can't be reviewed. And the NFL... they review all this dumb shit, and then these helmet-to-helmet hits can't be challenged.
Yeah. I don't like the fumble through the end zone anyway. Like, to me, that's way too big a penalty to make it a touchback or when it touches the pylon and the guy drops.
All right, I've heard this case. So what should it be then? What should happen?
All I know is a field goal kicker could hit both uprights and the crossbar and six times, and it could go through, and you get 3 points. But you accidentally drop a ball through the end zone on a bang-bang play, and... I don't know, 20-yard penalty, 25-yard penalty? Get it at the 25.
Penalty? I like it. That's one of my favorite rules. I like how mad it makes people every time. It's been a rule forever. I remember with the Patriots, the year Champ Bailey returned it all the way, pick six, and God, the tight end Ben Watson came all the way across and hit him right as he was about to score. And the ball went diagonally and they looked at it for 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, touchback.
It's fun.
Ended up not getting it.
I agree.
I will say when I was thinking about that Bills Browns AFC title game for that 40 seconds when my brain broke, where I landed was I had a strange sense of comfort because it seemed too improbable that those two teams would play for a Super Bowl bid. And I actually felt like it was good for the Chiefs. I was like,
really?
This is Bills Browns is too weird. It can't happen. That's too weird of a thing.
What I was thinking of is how I'm going to ask you to borrow money. I mean, I was like, how are the Chiefs going to, what am I going to do if it's Bills Browns?
Just tell me. I'm always there for you.
Thank you.
So a couple other weird things.
Yeah.
The Browns were down 19-9 and went for one. Still can't figure that one out. They made it 19-10 instead of, I don't know, to be down 9 versus 10, like why not try to be down 8? You're playing the Chiefs. Mahomes isn't out of the game yet. I thought that was weird. So of course,
if you ever have an opportunity to get bonus points against the Chiefs, I know the counter to that is, well, they weren't done scoring. Well, guess what? I mean, they basically were. So yeah, get as many points as you possibly can against
them. That's another case where the analytics, I don't care what they say, or it's like, 5% smart tech shit. No, it's like, no, you're playing the Chiefs. You need every point. And if you're down 2 scores, that's bad. So then they fall down 22-10. They need 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
If they had gotten the 2 point, they would have been at 11. Baker, his stats didn't reflect that he threw a bad pick. But for the most part, I thought he was really impressive. I thought he was impressive last week. And I went from thinking he was Case Keenum to now thinking, you know, there's something there. And you think like they didn't have Odell, who was their big meal ticket guy. Higgins emerged into whatever he emerged. He looked like Michael Irvin by halftime in this game. And then Landry, and it's like, maybe Baker is the guy.
I was going to ask you this. Take the rookies out of it. Which two, if this is Casey Kasem's top 40, which two quarterbacks shot most up the charts in your eyes? I think Josh Allen has to be one because his completion percentage, he was a different quarterback the last 2 years, showed signs of brilliance, but now he's in the top 3 or 4. So I think he has to be one. Is Baker Number two?
Jameis. Jameis was perfect today.
He really was.
He's the best quarterback in the game. We'll get to him in a second. Yeah, I would say Baker. The thing with Cleveland and Baker is that it's at least something now. Before, it was like, what do they do if it looks like it, you know, it looked these first 7 weeks, like,
yeah,
what do you do? You're in that Sam Darnold Jets thing. But now, you know, I think he's a real leader too. I really think, I think the energy that he brings play to play, series to series is, I don't know. You could feel it last week.
I think we give him more crap than we do. Well, first of all, there was all the stuff. Is the chugging the beer when they're on a losing team, and there's, you know, the Cheesecake Factory thing was a fun story. But the fact that he's in every commercial, I think, begs us to demand more of him, right? It's like, I don't want to see you all the time if you're just as good as me at throwing the ball. But he's stepped it up this year.
Yeah, the fact that he's in every commercial and Deshaun Watson, who's going to get traded for like 5 first round picks, is zero. It's kind of telling. But yeah, I think it was salvageable. I have a Chad Henne story before we finish this game. Right. Can you believe I have a Chad Henne story?
I'd have to hear it. What is this, parent corner?
No.
Oh, okay.
So House and I, for the Super Bowl that was in Miami, the Patriots weren't in it. It was 2010 range. I didn't stay for the game. I can't remember who was playing. It was the year before.
Was it Saints Colts?
I think it was Saints Colts. Yeah. I didn't stay for it. Right. The games in Miami, whatever Super Bowl that was. And we do this thing with Audi that our friend Louis K hooked us up with, where you have to drive this Audi diesel car from DC to Miami. And we're in with, like, there are all these.
Was that 10 years ago?
It was at least 10 years ago.
Jesus Christ.
Chad Henne was one of the celebrities. And the goal was like, can you drive this car all the way there with, I forget what the rules were. So
I remember this, yeah.
So House and I were like, we want to win this thing. We're trying to raise money for charity. And by the time we get to, like, I don't know, one of the Carolinas, we're like, fuck it. If we get to Miami, it'll be 10 o'clock. We'll be able to go to parties. So we floor it. We don't care about winning. Chad Henne was determined to win, went 55 miles an hour the entire way with his radio off and the air conditioning off, drove with his wife. It took him like 14 hours and he was going like 54 miles an hour and he ends up winning it. And we were like, kind of like weirdly respected it, but at the same time, it was like, wow, that's pretty fucking boring to drive 14 hours, no radio, no air conditioning. And House and I were texting during this thing where it's like, oh man, Chad Henne, 55 mile an hour Chad, our bets in his hands. And then the fourth and short, 55 mile an hour Chad came through.
He almost beat you again. Yeah. Wow. That is insane. That was his most notable accomplishment before today. Good job by you.
Not everyone has a Chad Henne story. He's been in the league 13 years.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You know what else was amazing? The end of Drew Brees' career. We're going to get to that after this break. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident, and you're okay, but you know what happened? Your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need. File a claim right on the State Farm mobile app and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. All right, the Brees funeral. You could see this coming all year. Mm-hmm. Hey, what was shocking was Buck and Aikman, who I think have done a bunch of Saints games, and They're just refusing to admit how bad the quarterbacks were in this game. Brady was either a C minus or a D plus where he finished. He was missing guys the whole game. But Breeze couldn't hit anyone more than 8 yards down the field, which he's been like all year. And there's a million stats about how they can't throw deep. And 2 hours into the game, the Bucs just move everyone up. It was like they realized, oh shit, what if we just move everyone up? And that's it. Kamara can't run the ball anymore. There's guys everywhere, and Breeze ends up with a pretty ignominious ending. Do you feel bad for Drew Brees today?
I did, and I think with the announcers, specifically with Drew Brees, I think they knew this was his last game in the Superdome if he lost, and they're like, I think they get a whisper of, hey, be careful with Drew. This is his retirement party. If we're going to give him a gold watch, let's not smack him in the face with it, you know? Let's just be careful. And I think that's what it was. And until the second or third, I mean, God, that was so, towards the end of the third quarter, both quarterbacks were hovering around 100 yards. Like, what? Come on. We
and like
4 yards
a pass.
Yeah, it was really rough. Yeah, it was that 7 for 13 for 60 yards. It was all that.
Remember, Breeze
shit.
Was like 22 attempts for 99 yards at one point. They flashed that graphic. He wasn't even at five a pass.
And his outlet pass was to Alvin Kamara. We talked about this yesterday when we were discussing which teasers to make and stuff. Like, I don't know. Kamara had 17 targets in the two games against Tampa Bay. He really ate them up. He ate the linebackers up. And Devin White coming back was huge. Like, they shut Kamara out, like, on the receiving end. I think he ran for 85, but only caught 20 yards worth of passes. But you're right. And Michael Thomas, just gone. I'd love to know what happened to that guy. That is the biggest question mark of the playoffs right now. And
the playoffs,
the
whole season. This guy guy had 160 catches last year.
Disappeared altogether. And
it
reminded
me of, remember that year Chris Johnson rushed for like 2,300 yards, and then 2 years later he was like on the Jets?
Right. Yeah.
You're like, what happened to that guy? That guy was the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
Thomas was the best receiver in the league, and he was invisible today.
And not only invisible, but it's not even like usually these monster receivers, you force the ball to them. And all right, if you get a pick that way, it's one thing, but didn't even really look his way that much.
No, and Thomas's body language was terrible too.
Yeah.
It seems like that was a rocky relationship the whole year. I wonder, like, you know, clearly they'll trade him, I bet, this offseason would be my guess.
Oh, I think he's got to be gone.
Unless there's some sort of Jameis thing. But you would have thought like he was 2 first-round picks minimum in a trade. And now I don't even know if he's a first-round pick.
Right.
He's so bad this season. So the Breeze thing, you had a feeling this was going to come down to which quarterback was going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was going to be a fumble and a sack, a bad pick, whatever. And it was finally Breeze. But Brady missed. You know, this Bucs offense, and I like the Bucs. I bet on them to win the Super Bowl, but I think they have real flaws, right? Special teams is a flaw. That game management, dumb penalties, stuff like that. And if they're not getting like that, the one or two explosive play per half, it just seems choppy all the time. Like, how many bad 3rd-and-5s, 3rd-and-4s, 3rd-and-1s where Brady's looking in disbelief because the guy went the wrong way, or you know, he throws to Gronk, but Gronk's completely covered, and it just feels disjointed. And they just got so much energy from those Breeze plays that, you know, in a weird way, it put some wind in their sails. But I'm still not sold on their offense. Are you?
I don't know. I know how you're playing this, and I recommend you did the right thing. You bet Tampa Bay big today, and you better bet them again next week, even though we know Green Bay is better, because this is just going to tear your heart out if Tom Brady goes to the Super Bowl. And I can tell by our text exchange, you're really looking for every little thing to kill Tom Brady. And the fact that he beat a team that he lost to twice badly isn't enough for you. You're like, has he even thrown a good ball today? I was like, oh, I can't wait for this. This coming on the heels of a 30-point Celtics loss. This is going to be a rough day for you.
I'm like Carrie Bradshaw after Mr. Big met Bridget Moynihan. I'm just bitter.
Yes.
She's so cute. But she does.
But you're right. He didn't have to do much because they gave him great field position. He had 199 yards, 18 for 33. And I think Brait was their leading receiver with 50 yards. So I don't know what's going to be. They crushed Green Bay. We'll obviously guess the line later. But you can't feel great about Tampa Bay other than they got the monkey off their back with the New Orleans matchup. But
there was a moment in the first half where I just felt like they were the better team. They didn't play well, and they hung around. And the guys were 3 guys on every tackle and stuff like that. And they really felt like they had the eye of the tiger. They also caught a couple of breaks, though. I think they really missed Taysom Hill today. You know, everybody shits on Taysom Hill for like the four plays where he gets shoehorned in on these third and ones or in the red zone, stuff like that. But half the time those plays work and they miss that. And then Harris going out was a murder because that guy's an electric, terrifying special teamer. And
I was
to just take him out
it.
Sucked.
With the degenerate trifecta, I was like, if Taysom Hill is in, forget about the Jameis stuff. All right, Jameis should be in. He should be in over Breeze. It's fun to say, but if Taysom Hill is in just in his regular offensive packages, do they win the game? I bet they come close. I bet they cut down on a couple errors and they convert a third and seven that Drew wasn't able to.
I think, so if Belichick was the coach here.
There we go.
I don't think Breeze plays this game.
Really? Wow.
I think he would have cut the cord with him at this
his
point.
His last game in the Super Bowl?
No, I think he would have cut the cord weeks ago. I think post broken ribs. I just don't think that he would have brought him back. And, you know, the dude had 11 cracked ribs. He's old.
Sure.
The thing that was really noticeable for me since he came back was the light wasn't in his eye. He really looked like he looked like a boxer who was in the last three rounds of a really grueling fight who just was like, I just get me in the 15th round.
That's why he has the eye black underneath, right? The light's in his eye indoors. Yeah.
But you know, like Breeze used to be like very Mayfield-y. He used to be like high energy, like very charismatic. And the guy this year just looked like an old guy who was hanging on. And I don't know. I think you can sense that if you're the Bucks. You know, you were like, this guy's banged up. It was a little like what Manning was like that last year in Denver where he was hanging on, you know, and we see this sometimes and it's sad. This is the Breeze today is, you know, this Breeze will fade away. It's had nothing resembling the guy from 7-8 years ago.
No, for sure. And, you know, when they bring in the backup to throw the long pass, which should have been obvious. I can't believe Tampa got beat on that. Anytime
is that even count as a trick play? What is that?
No, it shouldn't be. It's not a trick. No trick in it, right? Like, drop the safeties back when that happens. When Hill's in and when Winston's in running a pass route, theoretically. But, he's going to throw the ball. But, I agree with the Breeze thing. They weren't afraid to throw long. Emmanuel Sanders was good for him for the 13-yard turnaround out route. But other than that, it wasn't pretty for him going deep downfield.
The star of the game was Fournette.
Yeah, he really was.
Playoff Lenny was awesome. He's going to be playing himself into a $50 million contract from somebody. But the fact that he was catching the ball.
He out-Kamara'd Kamara, I thought. Yeah, he did that. Yeah,
because they ran like the three or four Gronk plays. All staples from the Patriots era. I've seen them all a million times. Two of them were almost caught. One was overthrown, whatever. They tried to get Brown involved, couldn't get him. They tried Evans deep, never happened. Godwin was all short stuff. And then the one long one was Scotty Miller, which Brady underthrew. Fournette was the guy.
Yeah, 107 total yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed
yards,
him.
Though. I didn't feel like they were, you know, wide open holes, anything like that. I thought some of the catches he made...
That's good.
Going forward, I'm trying to think, can this Bucks team do this two more times when they're this sloppy? Because week after week, Brady never seems completely on. He always seems a little uncomfortable. They can run the ball, but not like a Derrick Henry Tennessee level. But they can move the chains, but I wouldn't say they were an awesome running team. Defensively, they're fine. I don't think they're amazing. Like those picks today were really bad and special teams a little shaky. I find it hard to believe they can do this in Lambeau next week.
I find it. That's the tough one, right? Like, cause we've seen the Chiefs who haven't covered. They've won. Obviously this was a special game cause Mahomes wasn't in, but it's now been 2 months since they've blown out an opponent. The Bills, arguably the luckiest team to be there. Very good, but really kind of fell apart on a lot of different levels. I know we're going to get a lot of shit from fans, but, lucky and happy. I mean, you have to think like, you know, Josh Allen and Rodgers was salivating watching these games today, right? Like this is perfect. We need the Browns. How do we just miss out on the Browns if you're Josh Allen? And Rodgers is like, yeah, I'll take either of these teams. But yeah, next week is a tough one, despite the fact that they crushed Green Bay earlier in the year.
Yeah, House was furious at Lamar. I don't know why he put the Ravens in a tease, but he was trying to count up all the round two quarterbacks who were better than Lamar, including backups and Chad Henne, and wide receivers who have thrown passes. And the guy, who's the guy, Huntley, who replaced
Huntley
Lamar,
was
actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Rodgers, in that Rams game, I saw everything I wanted to see in that game. Because Goff was, we might as well go to that game. Now, Goff was better than I think anyone expected. I thought was Goff was single-handedly going to lose that game, and he was fine. He didn't make any plays with his legs, but he made some good throws.
Yeah, I think you texted, Goff looks terrified. And then like a minute later, Goff is no longer terrified. Right. I mean, he was like 21 for 27, six incompletions. And I think three of them were on that last drive. So he had half his miscues on the last drive. He kept them in that game. It was weird, but you're right. Rodgers is just, it's similar to the Chiefs offense. It's just a little, it's not as flashy, but it's just as in control and can strike quickly, and you just wait for shit to open up, and he's just so damn good. It really didn't matter with Jalen Ramsey out there. Now, I agree. Aaron Donald, if you saw the gear he was wearing, like, it was, that was Terminator.
Did you see the Jay Glazer thing? It looked like he was fighting in Iraq with that vest.
He could barely hold it up. He's like, this thing weighs like 77 pounds. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But, so it wasn't the Rams defense that we were accustomed to, but still the Rams defense, and they could have scored in the mid-40s. Like, Lazard dropped the pass. That last job's drive stalled purposely so that they can run the clock out. So,
and Jones was like a hair away from breaking like three runs too. They were the better team the whole game.
For sure.
I think there's a world if Goff was healthy, if Donald was 100%, and if Kupp was playing, I think that would have been a good game. I don't think the Rams would have won, but I thought that was a suspicious line. I thought, you know, I was thinking about it because the manifesto, which has been very successful, $1 million picks, I'm 5-0 on my big bets in these playoffs. The manifesto, one of the staples of the manifesto since the late 1990s was don't overreact to the previous round.
Right.
It feels like there was some unbelievable overreacting with some of the lines. Like that Browns line, for that to dip to 8, I thought was incredible. Granted, they covered, but I just couldn't believe that the Chiefs, it was down to 7.5 in their home and they had Mahomes and a lot of rest. The Ravens Bills, I have no idea why that went under 3. I just don't understand it. Lamar put up 20 points the week before. Wasn't like they were like lights out. People were like, Lamar, here he is. It was like, really? Is he here? And then that Rams line, I don't understand it. I don't know why weren't the Packers favored by 7.5, 8?
That should be higher. Yeah, especially when they don't name the quarterback until Friday. Like, are we going to go with the guy who was carted off by an ambulance or the one playing with like a half a thumb? Or are we going to activate like Blake Bortles here, which I think they did. But yeah, it was not looking good for the Rams. And you think if they shut down Cam Akers, which, you know, he didn't have 160 yards. He had 90. Like
he was good,
it.
Though. Yeah, I thought he was really good in that game.
He's good, but their defense steps up like that. Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, very underrated Packers defense. I think we're looking at now.
Totally. That's a tough one for the Rams. Cause I do think there's a world if you played this season 10 times where they could have won a Super Bowl in one of the 10 times you know, they had some bad luck injuries at a bad time. I don't think we'll see what happens with Goff. He certainly was a little bit better than maybe we were all expecting in that game. But for the most part, to have that kind of money committed to somebody who McVay clearly doesn't 100% believe in, plus they traded the picks for Ramsey. And this was kind of, it had to be this year or next year, basically, for them with all the investments they made, you know?
Yeah. Well, they might be close. I mean, that division is always tough. That's what's weird about that division. Like, it kind of collapsed on us, right? San Francisco with the injuries.
Totally.
Arizona, Kyler Murray. I don't know if he's also injured or whatever, but the offense has left a lot to be desired in that last quarter.
Well, now we have Brady Rodgers, which feels like destiny.
Right. So
and my dad and I were talking yesterday. We watched Brady for 20 years. I watch every Patriots game. And my dad was like, how many times did we play Rodgers? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. You could tell me 2. You could tell me 4. Mm-hmm. You could tell me 0. Like, I don't remember any Brady Rodgers game. I'm sure they happened. But if it did happen, it wasn't a signature game. But now,
it's the first time in the playoffs.
This will be it. Obviously. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's very exciting. It's what everybody wanted, right? It's weird that they did it as a 5 seed, but they beat up on the NFC East team, and then they're like, we're going to avenge our loss against the Saints, and now it's, Rodgers is a young buck now against Brady.
Who are you going to root for? Forget betting. Who are you going to root for if you had no money at stake? What's the more fun storyline? Tampa going to the Super Bowl or Rodgers Mahomes?
I think... How could I say no money at stake? I mean, I want you to be upset, so I'd want Brady to go to the Super Bowl. But I think that they're considerably better, the Packers, so that's where my money's going. I think it's the only bet to make next week.
Mm. Well, let's take we'll take a break, and then we'll talk Bills Ravens quickly in that AFC matchup. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at Simply Safe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. Simply Safe, great, because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try Simply Safe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. That's simplysafe.com with two I's, simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, Ravens, Bills. Tucker hits both uprights. When they hits the second upright, you're like, there's no way they can win now. We've both been watching football long enough where I'm just like, when is that ever a good sign? You hit, it's like the sign of the beast.
No way.
Two field goals each upright. It's like, all right, you guys are fucked. Lamar.
He was making some great Mr. Furley type, I'm dating myself now, some comedy faces too, Tucker, on those misses too.
I love really the good. Mr. Furley joke. That was really solid. Good. The Bills, Allen, who was spectacular last week, and then in this game, couldn't hit any deep throws. They had all these cool plays. Each time he missed the guy, it felt like they could have had 20 more points than they ended up. Weird weather. There was some wind. But the Ravens couldn't move the ball. And at some point, it became a Lamar referendum. Ugh. He was terrible. So House texted this. 30.1 points during the regular season. 13.0 in the playoffs. The pick six was abominable. And the game was over when it happened. He threw in triple coverage. He got concussed after that on the snap. We saw two of the worst snaps in the history of the playoffs back-to-back weeks. But that snap, intentional grounding, gets concussed, gets out of the game. And in some ways, like, I think if he had stayed in, it might have even gotten worse because they would have been on, like, the one-yard line. So now, if I'm a Ravens fan, I just don't know how I feel going forward because these playoff things, it's not even, like, James Harden level because at least James Harden, like, did well in a couple of playoff games.
Right.
This is just like a 2-year disaster.
I don't know what to think. I mean, you read those numbers off versus playoff teams versus non-play. I mean, they need the Bengals, teams like the Bengals, to make the playoffs. That's the only way to do it. But this game was so messed up, right?
I mean,
think about like the Bills. Imagine not covering on a teaser. You're having the Ravens plus 9, 9.5, 8.5, whatever, right in there. The Bills had 230 total yards. They had 32 rushing yards. The Ravens inside the 30 five times. They scored three. They scored 3 points and gave up 7. They're inside the 35 times. They allowed 7 and scored 3. And all those missed field goals, which everyone wanted to blame Al Michaels. People were actually blaming Al Michaels. Like, all right, will you calm down? What are you doing here?
Al Michaels is 80. Leave him alone.
Yeah. He's not blowing it for Tucker here by mentioning it or mentioning that the Bills went wide right. That's no effect on the game. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that 101-yard pick six, it's like three pick sixes. It's such a killer. There's no coming back from that.
And that was a recurring theme with him in the red zone. You know, that what was the game when they played Tennessee in the regular season? They scored, it was like first and goal from the 9. It's like, what, 7, 8 weeks ago. Just scored touchdown, game's over, couldn't do it. I don't think he's accurate enough. Now, we saw Allen, and a lot of people have talked about this year. Allen wasn't accurate enough last year and made unbelievable strides. And now is, I think, accurate. He wasn't accurate yesterday in the deep balls, but for the most part, accurate. I don't think Lamar's accurate enough. And if you're rooting against him or you're betting against him, you're rooting for him to go back into the pocket and try to throw the ball more than 10 to 12 yards because you don't feel like he's going to complete it.
It's so hard, right? Because he's a phenomenal fantasy player. Back-to-back 1,000-yard years rushing. MVP last year. So how are we going to kill him and say this is not the answer? But you do watch him, and he does look like, and we were talking about this, he's a minor knee injury away from being like RG3 with not as good an arm. You know, like,
right.
What if he decides to not run it? He's like, you know what? I don't want to. This happens to all the quarterbacks. It's going to happen to Josh Allen, all of them. They're going to be like, I just don't want to run it as much. It probably will happen to Mahomes very soon, if not the very next game.
Like 7 hours ago.
Yeah, like a few hours ago. But that that was such a strange game. I don't want to take anything away from Buffalo, but bizarre game. I think because I labeled it the game I want to see the most, I'm like, this is going to be a 10-6 final, and it wasn't too far off.
Buffalo's defense was terrific. One of my big cases for picking them this week was I watched them a lot this year. I just thought they had a bad week last week. I thought the Colts surprised them. You and I were talking on the phone yesterday about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just think Rivers played really well and the Colts played really well. And the Bills had to dig deep and they had like a 96-yard drive and 84-yard mm-hmm. drive. And the Colts like really, really made them work for it. I thought it was a little bit of an aberration. The Ravens, I just don't think they're explosive enough offensively. And the Lamar thing's weird because I think he's considered one of the signature quarterbacks, but I think of all the signature quarterbacks, he's kind of the one least likely to win 4 straight playoff games in January and February. I don't see it.
Interesting.
Unless he can fix the accuracy.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Because Allen, we would have said that last year about Allen. When they blew the 16-point lead, it's like, that guy's not accurate. You're not winning a Super Bowl with that guy, and he fixed it.
Well, there are lesser quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, one of them, that you'd be more confident in scoring 40 points in a given playoff game, right? Like, you're just not. You're not there with Lamar yet.
Can we do Collinsworth impersonations of how excited he was about the Bills Mafia?
Go ahead.
Al, I know there's only 8,000 people here, but I swear it feels like 80,000 now. I really does. Feels like 80,000 here. They were pumping in fake noise, though. That's why it sounded loud, because you had the 8,000 real people, but then you also were allowed through the fake noise, I think.
Yeah, they're supposed to keep it at a decibel that's not overwhelming. Yeah, they don't want the league to tamper with that. But yeah, you're right. They were... It was good to see fans all over the place, though. I have to say, I'm glad that wasn't nobody in a lot of these stadiums. But now we got two outdoor games.
Well, I think it really hurt the Saints today.
You did,
Especially with how kind of sloppy the Bucs were. If you had put in the 80,000 screaming people, that could have tilted them. And and then the Chiefs. I think that was another one. Baker Mayfield just shouldn't be that comfortable in Arrowhead with two receivers.
Yeah, you're probably right. Would have been different.
I thought for the Bills, the encouraging thing was the defense was just way better this week. And that was what I was saying about watching them all year. I just felt like their defense was better than they looked last week. Rivers hit a lot of good throws, you know, and made them look worse, but they were solid. So we got Super Bowl odds. Packers plus 210, Chiefs plus 210, Bills plus 330, Bucks plus 430. I can't remember more bunched together when we get to the final four, right?
Well, you're going to see the lines themselves are pretty short. So that's why it makes sense. Yeah.
But usually there's like an 8-1 or something like that. Not this year. So I have a 27-1 Bills Bucks bet that I made after week 16.
Oh, wow.
That I am now in full hedge territory. As we've covered many, many times in this podcast, neither of us have ever hedged a bet correctly in our lives, except for one time I texted you. I found an excerpt in my column of a bet we hedged correctly in like 2009 or 2010. Remember?
You sure you didn't make it up? Yeah. Oh,
no,
that's
I texted
right.
you. It was like, look at this. We did this correctly. It was the one time it's ever happened. It was a basketball. Oh, it was it was Mavs Heat 2011. We bet on the Mavs to win the finals and we were going to hedge on the Heat in game 6 and we decided not to. We rode the Mavs and we actually won.
Yeah. So we still have a good 11, 12 years before we do it right again. Right. You're not going
to. Maybe once every 10 years it happens. So we're like 2 in 400 in that scenario. So I guess I could hedge it by just betting the Packers and the Chiefs straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Although that wouldn't work because if one of them won and the other didn't, I don't know what to do. I have no idea how to hedge this.
Well, I think how about a money line parlay with the favorites? And then if and when the Packers win, you could figure it out from there.
How about this?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I have the right teams.
Let it ride. Yeah.
Mahomes coming off an injury with some sort of hobbled foot and everything going on there. And then, you know, Tampa
let's figure
Lambo.
This out. All right. So right now that parlay you have is plus 551. What do you have it at?
27-1.
Oh, that's better. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's those are better.
That's five. But
you know
times
what? We'll guess the lines.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out what the hedge potential is. We'll take one more break. We're going to play guess the lines. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right? First half of the first game. I don't know. West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside. LDA 21 and up. This episode is brought to you by Burger King, which has the greatest commercial song I think I've ever heard. The ultimate hunger hack has arrived, my friends. BK's Royal Crispy Wraps. Choose from four bold flavors, classic, spicy, honey mustard, and the new, drumroll please, fiery buffalo. Oh yeah, I'm getting that one. They're only just $2.99 each because at BK, have it your way. You rule. Try Royal Crispy Wraps at Burger King. $2.99 each. Price and participation vary. U.S. only. Okay. Guess the lines. First of all, now it's 8:05 West Coast time. Is there a Chiefs line?
There is a Chiefs line.
Okay. Surprised to hear that.
I might as well tell you that. What it reflects, whether with regard to his,
I figured
playing, they think he's going to play.
Can I ask you what the first? I've really tried to avoid this as much as possible. I'm guessing they went Chiefs Bills first, and then they're going Packers Bucks.
If they had their choice, they would do that, but they alternate. So NFC was late last year, so now they just NFC's early. Tampa Bay, Green Bay's early. It's 3:05 Eastern.
Oh wow! So let's do that one first. Packers Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Green Bay. So I was torn between Pack minus three and Pack minus 2.5.
And I
kept coming back to this Saints game and how mm-hmm. the line was 3 all week. And then it dropped down to Saints 2.5. I think the Packers are slightly better than the Saints. So I'm going to go Packers by 3. I think this is a field goal line. Packers by 3 over Tampa.
You're going to get mad, but I hit this exactly. My thinking was it can only be 3, 3.5, 4, or 4.5. And I thought 4.5 was too high. I thought 3.5 was more likely because they're the better team and they're home. What does home mean anymore? I don't know. I went 3.5, and it is 3.5.
So I just missed it. I saw Aaron Andrews, our friend,
mm-hmm.
interviewed Brady after the game and asked him about, is it true your blood has thinned a little bit since you've been in the South? And he's like laughing, like, yeah, it is. It's weird because cold weather Brady was amazing. Like, he loved cold weather. He was great in cold weather. But now he's been in Florida for the last few months. So,
you know, it's weird. You're talking about when they move this game. Is this going to be the night game or the day game? Like, it really... It would have been unfair if they did have the choice to put the Packers later. It's like, that's an extra 4 or 5 degrees if you're bumping it 3 hours. And by the way, if Breeze had won, we would have seen so many stats all week about how terrible he is in cold weather. And he's pretty bad, especially against the spread. So I'm glad we're getting this
matchup. Especially
this
version of Breeze.
Yeah.
I believe this line will be 3 by Sunday.
You do?
I do. I think the Bucks are a public team, even more so than the Packers. You could see it in the line. The line almost got to 2 today.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady is a playoff bettor's dream. He really is. They load up on him. Whether they do it early in the week or later in the week, I'm not sure.
Warren Sharp did this whole thing on Ringer NFL Show on Friday with House about when teams play for a third time, when the first two times one team beat the crap out of the other team.
Right.
And the numbers were pretty good. Like, it was like the third time they're 13-4. House and I were talking about it. In a normal year, I would have been really scared to take the Bucks. But I think this goes back to, like, I think you throw all the historical shit out this year. This is such a weird year with the COVID and the barely any fans. Like, even Brady going to Lambeau, he's not really going to Lambeau. It's not going to be 80,000 people. It's going to be what, 15?
Yeah.
12?
Right. I get it, but the Packers were, what, 7-1 at home? Like, all these good teams were almost unstoppable at home. They didn't lose much on the road either. Yeah, it's tough with Tampa. I'm not sure what you did. So you would go take them at 3, huh?
I don't know what I'm doing yet. I think the line will
you
end
have
up
to
at,
bet them. You have
oh,
to
I'm gonna
Tampa.
I'm gonna definitely bet. I'll probably bet you on Brady bet just so I can root for him while also having my feelings hurt the whole time.
Right. There you go.
You know, my dad and I were talking about it yesterday. We just think the Bucs are a way better team. They have way more weapons. I can't fault them. Like watching that terrible Patriots team this year, Brady clearly saw it last year. He's like, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm. We say this is a messed up year, but Tampa Bay Lightning, I believe, were the top seed. The Dodgers were the best, you know, odds on favorite for baseball.
Lakers
were supposed to win the title. So maybe it makes sense that both one seeds meet up.
True or false?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, 0-3 in his last 3 conference title games.
I'd be dumb to say false. Is that true?
That's true.
Against Seattle. Wait, who
they lost the Seattle Rams? Game in 14.
No.
They lost to the Atlanta Falcons 44-21 in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in Green Bay?
No, this is the first
time
that
was in Atlanta.
Hosted. Yeah.
That was Atlanta. And then they lost the one to San Francisco last year.
San Francisco. Year. That's right. They got killed
in
by
San
them.
Francisco. Yeah. But this time around they are home. Yeah, Rodgers. I don't think he's been the favorite in this round, probably, you know, since you were working for Jimmy Kimmel Live and our kids were like 3 years old.
It's been a long time. It's been, I'm so pumped for this. I'm glad they didn't screw it up. I'm like, Browns get out of the way and Rams get out of the way, and we're going to have a nice Final Four here.
Did you know Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay were friends?
I guess. I didn't know the
they
extent
knew
of
each
it.
Other?
Like with Washington. Yeah, I mean, I guess they coached together on Washington, but they can't bring it up.
They love Schrager did a whole thing on the pod with me on Thursday about it, but it's like catnip for the TV shows.
If gotta do it.
Two coaches knew each other, and they can show the team photo from when they were assistants together.
Absolutely.
And then they can get an interview, but then they can bring the other guy into the interview. Like, they fucking love it.
Yeah. Let's do 6 degrees of anybody. Like, oh, Lazard and
they knew each other.
And Cam Akers were at a movie theater together. Carissa Thompson, interview them both.
I watched a lot of the pregame shows.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday. I don't get the interviews. I don't know who the audience is for those. Who is it? Let's figure this out right now. Who is the audience? It's not you and me. My wife's not watching. It's not our children. I don't think it's people in college, but who's like, oh, cool, they got Honey Badger.
I know.
He's on Skype. They're going to ask him questions. Like, who is this for? And if you're going to ask some questions, like, why not play like a game show? Like, do like the Kyle Brandt 10 questions. Like, do some sort of format. Was it, man, you must be jazzed to be in another round 2 of the playoffs, huh?
Those
are the questions. I don't get it. I don't understand who that's for.
I think we get in trouble because we're friends with these people. But I think it breaks up everything. But I'm with you. I want to know who am I gambling on, who am I putting in my fantasy lineup, and that's it. I'm sorry.
I would much rather have 15 minutes of somebody with a toupee who's just like, there's a lot of action on the Rams right now. A lot of action. I don't understand it. The lines moved. I just talked to my dude in Bally's. Like, that's all I want. Just give me like seedier people, not like awesome Skype things. I feel bad for our friends though, because they have to have these like gregarious interviews, but it's like, I don't, what revelations come out of them?
No.
It's like, Coach Cowher's going to talk to Kevin Stefanski. Oh, Coach, you must be proud of your guys.
Right.
It's like, what? Like, why?
Anyway. If Jimmy Johnson is interviewing Jerry Jones, it's different, right? I think Bradshaw sat with Ben Roethlisberger earlier in the year, and they didn't have a great relationship over the years, and they patched it up. And that was something. But yeah, you're not going to.
They do it now. NBA has now borrowed the motto, and they did the same thing with the NBA. Like, LeBron, it must have been so sweet to get that title in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was. It was. It was really sweet. But, you know, you just want to get another one. They go and it's like 5 minutes. It's like nothing's happening. I'm learning nothing. I'm getting dumber in the moment. All right, next game. Chiefs Bills. I can't believe this is the late game. You really threw me off with that.
I couldn't believe it either, but it is on a rotating thing. Has to be.
I'm going to stay with this. I have Chiefs by 3.5.
All right. That's what I had. I figured it's 3.5 either way, right? If it's Henny, it's 3.5 for the Bills. If it's
well, it's not going to be Henny. Mahomes will play.
No, I know. But I'm saying it's a, I think it was a 7-point. I thought Mahomes was worth 7, right? So Bills,
oh, interesting.
Bills favored by 3.5 or Chiefs favored by 3.5. That's where I landed.
I think
on.
Bills would be 4.5, to be honest.
You would? Oh, really?
Yeah, Henny's so not good. He's not good at football.
So 8-point difference, you say. We're both right at 3.5. Well, because it's like -3. So we tie there.
Oh, so you win the week.
Yeah.
It's all right. You made me feel comfortable on text when Henny was in and I looked up his number and I freaked out 5 for 22. And you were like, he's still got a lot of weapons.
That's it. I was like, two big plays. Just make two plays.
And he's got Tyreek. Kind of, he's got
kind
Kelsey.
Of made four. Yeah.
Hardman's kind of fast.
Oh, believe me. I broke everything in my office after he threw that pick, but I wasn't going to give it up on text. what are the storylines? You like doing storylines, right? Best Super Bowl storylines?
Yeah, let's do most fun Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. So here are the scenarios. I mean, we should probably power rank these, right?
Mm-hmm. It's only four. Yeah.
See, it's tough because how do you value the Chiefs are the league's marquee team because of Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills would be the marquee story if they got in there and they were one away with their fucking history. And true. I think that's the sexiest of the four. So I would say, I think Bills-Tampa is the best Super Bowl. I think it's the sexiest Super Bowl.
Really?
I do.
Bills-Tampa?
Yeah, Bills-Tampa. Brady going for number 7. Everyone gets to pile on Belichick for 2 weeks. Have Belichick versus Brady. All those conversations. Can Brady do it? Bruce Arians is a character, all the stuff. And then the Bills side, they've never been here. Oh my God, this would be one of the most amazing. These fans, they've been suffering.
Mm.
You could do your whole thing about that young man, Josh Allen.
Yeah. I don't know what's going through that young man's mind right now, but he has got to be. Yeah, I don't know. Well, and then you got that, you know, all right, Buffalo's been destroyed by Brady for 2 decades.
So you have the AFC East baggage. You have, oh my God, the Bills, they finally get Brady out of their division. And now all of a sudden they got to go through him again for the Super Bowl. I think that's the biggest Super Bowl. That's Bills. The Bills have to be the team from an interest standpoint.
Oh man, I don't know.
We've seen the Chiefs for years.
I'd like to find out. I don't know if there's Chiefs fatigue just yet. I think NBC, if you ask NBC executives, wouldn't they want Green Bay, Kansas City? You think they want Brady back? I guess Brady. Well, now you got me
100%
thinking.
Brady.
Green Bay, Kansas City is Super Bowl I. You got the number one MVP against the number two MVP in voting wise.
Well, for the league, the best scenario is the Bills making it because then they can create, then Allen could become a superstar potentially.
Right.
He's not there yet. He doesn't have the name value Mahomes has, but if the Bills win the Super Bowl, Allen's in the State Farm commercials next year and he's, you know, doing Heineken and whatever. He's getting six.
Was Jimmy G? I mean, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but I didn't feel like he was going to get that boost if they had held on to the tempo.
Come on, Allen's way better than Jimmy G, though.
I know he is now. But even Green Bay, Buffalo, you got small town. You can make a case those are the best fans, right? I get you want Brady in there, though. You need Brady in there. Wow, I hadn't thought of it this way. I thought for sure it was just Green Bay, Kansas City. I think about it.
I think Brady winning a Super Bowl, not on the Patriots and going for his 7th Super Bowl versus the Bills trying to win a Super Bowl. How is there a bigger storyline than that? If Casey wins again, they won last year. If Rodgers wins again, he won 10 years ago. But, you know.
So Tampa Bay, Buffalo is better than Tampa Bay, Kansas City?
Yeah, for me it is.
Oh, for you. Okay.
I probably Mahomes, Brady might be the one that reaches the most people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe I value the Bills thing more than you.
Yeah, how many, maybe.
There's 3 teams left. The Bills, the Browns, and the Vikings. That if they're in the Super Bowl, it's more meaningful because of their history. Those are the 3.
And I guess.
You might be able to throw the Seahawks in there. Oh, no, the Seahawks won already.
You're being more sentimental than I am. I just want to see Rodgers and Mahomes, but... But like I said, we're good. As long as the Browns.
So what's
Rams
the worst lost, Super Bowl?
Well, there's no bad one, but I had your best as my worst.
Wow.
Yeah. I
value
Bay,
the Bills thing more. So you think Rodgers, Mahomes, the State Farm Super Bowl is just, that's the most fun one?
Yeah, I think so. Could do a lot with the history of Super Bowl I. Like I said, yeah, I mean, you're not going to do better than the top two. But they traded off who's first MVP voter vote-wise all year long.
What coach used to know Andy Reid in some way where we can get the photo of them on a coaching staff 20 years ago?
Eric Bieniemy.
Matt LaFleur, he met Andy Reid at an Amtrak station once, and here's a photo of that.
Eric Bieniemy, you're inexplicably going to be left without a head coaching job for the seventh straight year. What do you have to say? That's what I would ask.
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy, you just called the Chad Henne to Tyreek Hill. I'm assuming he called that play. That was like the play of the year. That should have gotten him a job.
Yep.
Instead, he's going to get this stupid Houston job.
Oh, yeah.
If he has anything, the way Schefter tweeted today, that was the worst coaching vacancy in a long time or whatever he said.
Houston is
the most undesirable coaching vacancy because of all their dysfunction.
For sure.
They have this dude who was the team chaplain for the Patriots who now runs their whole team.
Yeah. And they hired like a PR firm and gave him hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and didn't take their advice at all as to who should, which chapel guy they should hire.
You know, we should talk about Deshaun quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's Jets or Dolphins. It seems like he's getting traded. All the signs are there. Like this will be a trade now. And the Jets have the second pick and then some other stuff. And then the Dolphins have the Tua, the fourth pick, the 17th pick, some other stuff. It's probably better for him if he goes to the Dolphins because they have a good team already. If you go to the Jets, it's like, all right, you're on the Jets and they just traded all this stuff for you. But if you're the Texans, you get the second pick. Like you like Fields, right? Your Fields guy?
Yeah, sure. I like him. Yep.
Do you like him more than Tua?
I got to tell you, there's a chance Tua was very good, but not great. I mean, you look at that Alabama offense the last few years, it's unbelievable the receivers they've produced, you know, between Ruggs and Cooper and Devontae Smith. You know, like, it's phenomenal what they've done. And I don't want to say it's a system offense, but we may have given Tua a little bit of a break here. Plus, he's playing like he's playing off the injury, too. So, that's the move right there.
So that's how I feel, too, because the Dolphins, if they said 2-4-17, next year's first, give us Deshaun. But I could get the number two pick and I could take Fields. And then maybe I get one more first from you. That's a pretty good reboot.
Sure.
If you're the Texans with the guy who's you've basically burned every possible bridge with him and he doesn't want to be there anymore. And by the way, he shouldn't want to be there anymore. This is,
no way.
You know, this to me is the complete opposite of the James Harden situation. They did nothing but do wrong by this guy. Mm-hmm. And the clip of J.J. Watt and him walking off the field and J.J. Watt like, apologize. Man, I'm sorry. Like him apologizing, like, man, you should be 11-5 every year, whatever he said. Like, that's how I feel about Deshaun. So Dolphins will be fun.
Why not the Bears? You already passed on him, right, in the draft. What about all these teams that passed on him in the draft that still need a quarterback? Is that much egg on your face if you have to trade assets to get him? I know, like, oh, we could have had him in the draft, but don't make the same mistake twice, right?
Well, but I think from an asset standpoint,
they can't give up as much.
No, just one of the first two picks in this draft, because you get a quarterback right away.
Right.
Or that 2-4-17 package. Those are just going to beat anybody else's package. Like, I have Patriot fans in my life who are like, all right, 15, second round, third round, fourth round, Damien Harris, then next year's first. And you know, Hench and I were like, well, Belichick whiffs on 2/3 of these first round picks anyway. We might as well trade him off for Deshaun. We get a quarterback again. But
I'm Houston, I'm like, well, we're not going to be good this year anyway, even if we do take these high picks. Like, maybe we get like 4 ones from Chicago. I don't know. But then
you still don't have
Watson,
the quarterback, though.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Because if you're Houston, you still have to bring the guy over and be like, all right, Mitch, I know you love Deshaun. I know you bought his jersey, but here's Fields. You're going to love him. He's going to be really good. He's our new guy.
You got to get everyone excited for somebody. Yeah.
Tua, who, you know, you just have to tell your fans not to watch his last 5 games on the Dolphins.
Yeah, right.
Hey, watch that Cardinals game. Your team has no chance at Deshaun, right? It would seem like the most Jerry move ever to jump in.
That would be fun, but I'd be shocked if Dak wasn't there or especially with the Kellen Moore stuff going on. I think he's coming back.
Your first CD, your first, next year's first, three firsts, no?
Nah. They won't do it. We don't even have a GM that could comprehend what the hell that means.
Do you really not have a GM?
Not really, no. Why would we have a GM?
Oh, we forgot. Before we go to Parent Corner, we forgot to figure out how I hedge this. How do I hedge my Bucks?
All right, so if one of them wins, you're done, right? So if we're starting off with the Packers Bucks. So if the Packers win, that thing's done. So the Packers are minus 205, so you could put like a grand to win 500.
Yeah, so Chiefs Packers money line is plus 144. Right?
Yep. Right.
So if I just bet that for half of what I would win with my bet, the Packers lose, my bet's still alive, and then it moves over to the Chiefs game, and then if both those lose, I win my bet. Isn't that how I have to do it?
Yeah, you have to do it. Yeah, because it's staring you right in the face there with two favorites winning, right? Yeah, you have both underdogs.
Oh, wait, so how I would get screwed is the Packers screw my parlay, and then the Bills win, and I lose both. That's how I get screwed.
Right. Right. If Chiefs Bucks win.
Can you discuss this with the trifecta on Against All Odds? Can you break this down? Can I come on? Can I invite myself on?
Yeah, we'll get it going. But I think you just have to take the three combinations that get you money back, right?
There's some way to do this. We're just not smart enough.
You think Harry's smart enough to figure this out?
I want to come on Against All Odds. I want to talk about LeBron for MVP, and I want Harry to figure out how to hedge this bet.
All right,
that'd be two things. All right, now it's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax. Don't just buy your next car. Love your next car with the CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee. Our friends at CarMax know that buying a car is a big deal. And with their new Love Your Car Guarantee, you can take your time to make sure it's the right car for you. Or maybe for my family with my daughter, if she ever passes her driver's test. Start it with a 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, to school, and to the grocery store before you buy. And if it feels right, you've got a full month and 1,500 miles to keep on driving with their new 30-day money-back guarantee. It's the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax. Learn more today at CarMax.com. All right, I have an awesome Parent Corner this week, but you go first.
You do? Mine's not that great. It's just a continuation of last week. Remember I bragged to you about how I was going to get Atari? I saw it online for $54.
Yeah.
And it had all the games. I was like, this is great. I don't even know what to expect here. So we get it. It comes in a box, like a little bigger than a shoe box. It's got the console and it's got the two joysticks. Remember, it's one red button and then just that little stick. And there are two of those. And then you just stick an HDMI into there and you have all the Atari games. I was like, this is the best. And I have my oldest down there. And I was like, look, this is Space Invaders. And it is... I don't even know how to explain it. It's so shitty. It's so damn shitty. Spade it, bump, 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 bump. And it's slow and the music is slow and the graphics are awful. And then we do Asteroids and that's boring as hell. And the kids are like, and my oldest is like, all right, dad, that's fine. I'm like, no, let's do this. This is great. And so then Archie leaves and I get the youngest one in there. I'm like, all right, I got a 7-year-old. He's going to love this. It's a visual. It's great. We put this game Adventure. I don't know if you remember Adventure. There's like a unicorn hopping up and down. It's terrible. And then they have the sports games. He's like, well, let's play basketball. And then the basketball was like a little like line and that jumps up and down and something that looks like a hoop. Like the people who wrote these games are like, oh, we got it. Let's go. We're ready to print. Like they ought to be ashamed of themselves. And then I'm like getting mad. Like I'm getting like, no, you should love this. You love it. And I'm like, all right, my middle kid's going to be fine. He likes everything. He gave it the least amount of time. My middle guy, Jack. And now I'm yelling at them. And I'm like, now I'm going the other way. I'm like, you better appreciate what you have. Cause look at me, look what I had to deal with. This was it. This is all we had to play with. So they're like, yeah, you've lost your mind, old man. We'll show you some real video games. Just let the Atari thing go. I don't know what the answer is. Like, what would you even, I'm trying to think what would pique their interest even for a minute. I think you have to start with Sega, right?
I think you have to do Sega Genesis 2, like the 93, 94 range with the hockey game, the golf game.
Right.
That whatever Madden like 95 when you could intentionally injure the guys, knock the guys out of the game. That was amazing.
That was fun.
Summerall was like, uh-oh, there's a man down.
Yeah. Right.
Those were great. Those games, I think 92, it kicks in.
They do it with swingers, right? On swingers, they play hockey. Like, oh, I'm going to make his head bleed. That was fun. But anything before that, oh my God, Simon, you wouldn't go crazy. Combat, Missile Command, it's all such garbage. I couldn't even get my wife, who was familiar with the game. She's like, no, I don't even want to see it. It's dumb. But anyway.
Tecmo Bowl.
Yes.
I haven't played that one in a while. I don't know. That would be the cutoff line for me. I don't know if that one's still fun or not.
We got to try that out. Bo Jackson.
Well, I'm sorry. I more importantly, probably made you feel super old.
Oh, for sure. Way too old.
It's like just an ego blow. I mean, these games we've been playing. Gus and I were talking about it. I've been playing video games for almost 40 years now. I think I got in television in 1981.
Yeah, you're right.
I have a 40-year
That's video what game it was. Run. Well, if anyone wants Atari, I'll ship it to you for free. I can't even look at it anymore.
So my parent corner, my son, who's been on this a million times, my son's new thing is how he wants to be on the podcast or have a podcast.
Okay.
And it's because Zoe's been on some, but Zoe's actually good. Like, she's like genuinely talented at it and can hang with adults, and she's good at it and has things to say. And with her, it's like you're 13. So the move I've made has been, you have to change how you behave and talk in the house. And at some point in life, when we're not listening, you swear at your friends when you're playing video games with them and you're storming off and all the stuff you do as like a temperamental 13-year-old boy, when you're more mature and you can carry conversations, we'll revisit it. By the way, he's not coming on the podcast. So he was really mad. He's like, everybody's against me. You guys like Zoe more. We went through this whole thing, which hasn't really happened that often, where it's like, you like Zoe more. Even people, even my friends say, and she comes on your podcast, but you wouldn't have me. And I'm like, that's not a sign of my love. Like, that Zoe came on to talk about teen culture. It doesn't mean I like her more than you. Well, then why can't I come on?
He's logging more minutes. He's not coming on, but he's logging more minutes of stories about him or way more
that's
than what, Zoe.
So that was his case. He's like, parent corner, I'm in most of them. And Zoe's not in any of them. And it's just like, you're insane. So we were having this whole week with him where he was just, basically, the world's against me. Friday night, Murph the puppy takes a shit in Zoe's room.
Good.
Stinks. Zoe lights all these candles to get rid of the smell. Zoe has a music lesson and goes downstairs and forgets that one of the candles is going.
Oh, no.
Ben walks by her room and notices there's a ball of fire starting to go up her wall, freaks out, goes, grabs water, and puts out this fire. And it was like, we were looking at it. It was like one more minute and our house might have been on fire.
Wow.
Like, literally our house would have been on fire.
Wait, did the candle fall or what? What
no, the candle just burned to the bottom. And for somehow the flame went up and it caught something on the side. And all of a sudden on the side, this curtain on the side of the wall caught on fire and we were off. And so Ben saves the day. And then could not have been prouder of himself. It's like,
humble.
Why don't you tell that story in Parent Corner? How Zoe almost burned the house down and then I saved the day. Why don't you put that story in Parent Corner?
There you go.
And was all proud of himself. And now we call Zoe the arsonist. And Ben's the hero of the house.
That's great.
But then he's really like, good. I want to come on Parent Corner and tell the story about, and you're not coming on. I'll actually tell the story for you.
Why won't he go have him on? It's his big moment.
No, screw him. So Zoe almost burned the house down. The apple of my eye, the good kid. Good kid.
Careful, just be careful.
Everything would have been gone.
Oh,
the nice
wow.
kid. So so Ben saved the day.
Well, I am going to reward young Ben. You don't have to, but I'm going to reward him with a nice new Atari. Not even 5200, just a regular Atari. I'm going to drive it over.
That's true. Maybe I should get him an Atari.
Yeah, get him an Atari.
To help him out. all right, that was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. Don't just buy your next car. Love your next car with CarMax. Love your car guarantee. Check them out today at CarMax.com. Before we go, big news. Kyle moved.
Yeah.
He did.
Kyle has an apartment. Look, he's got like a little office now.
It looks good.
Yeah. He's got digs. There's air conditioning.
Central air.
He's near a 7-Eleven.
Really? You buried
there's
the lead.
Shit going down with Kyle. It's big. We're really proud of him. Him and Ben. Very proud week for the Simmons family.
The big question is how many rabbits followed you?
Did you take all the rabbits?
Yeah.
All of them.
Took all the rabbits. You couldn't even get rid of the rabbits after we did the parent corner story?
It's not about...
They don't listen to the podcast, Bill.
Yeah, they don't. It's more complicated than
I thought people would want to adopt the rabbits after that.
Oh, I see.
They do, but that's...
You're too close to them now. I see this all the time. People complain about their pets and they hate them. And then when push comes to shove, they can't separate themselves.
No? Kyle's living with his girlfriend, Sal. There's no going back now.
I guess not.
Once you're paying rent together, it's tough.
How much more is this rent than the last place?
It's like $100 more.
Really?
And my rent was going to inevitably go up. So it just made sense. It's shiny and new and there's a balcony. So
it looks good. Yeah.
So balcony. There's a 7-Eleven. There's a pizza place. It's just great. Things are looking up in 2021. New president coming. Hopefully we won't have a civil war this week. We got
that would be nice.
Four great possible Super Bowl matchups.
Well, worst comes to worst, you toss the rabbits off the balcony. Yeah, you're in good shape here.
Second story.
All right.
You could say the rabbits crawled off the balcony and you didn't realize what happened, and they just kind of fell.
Well, she can hear all this from the other room. So,
man. Put them in Zoe's room. They'll burn up.
Yeah. Put them in the arsonist room. All right. Thanks for that update, Kyle. Sal, what do you got to plug?
You can't lose them all. My book comes out, out next week. It's still ordered for pre-order. I know. I was told that my publisher's like, hey, you got to push this thing. I'm like, all right. But it's not out till the 26th. Tomorrow's what? The 18th?
Why don't I have a copy of this book yet? You were waving a copy on Instagram. Why didn't they mail me one?
They should have mailed you one. I have 20 here. I can give you one. That's it. You can't lose them all. Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Get it's number one on addiction and recovery section. I did not mean for that to happen. But somehow it's number. I don't know if it has any competition, but it's
number one in the addiction, but not recovery.
Yeah, right.
Also, you hired Kendrick Perkins.
Kendrick Perkins is on a podcast.
You hired a Celtic for your podcast.
I know. I was like, how can I get Bill mad? I'm gonna hire a Celtic. Yeah, Kevin McHale's next. Perk and Gina Paradiso. They do the Betting Academy on the Extra Points Podcast Network.
How dare you hire a Boston athlete? Not even tell me.
I need someone who knows about basketball and can talk about it.
Why don't you hire a New York athlete?
You got everybody else.
Former Knicks. Why do you have to hire a Celtic?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Is John Starks around?
I protest.
That's it.
All right, Sal. As always, a pleasure. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the pod. Don't forget about the Rewatchables First Blood coming on Monday with Brian Koppelman. And then I got two more podcasts coming on this feed this week as well, including the Good Luck Charm, Peter Schrager. Now he has to come back. Every time he comes on, we win money. So that'll be Thursday. I'll figure out what else is going on next week as well. Stay safe. For the love of God, stay safe over these next couple of days. And hopefully I'll see you Tuesday night.